This is an interview with Connie McCready at her home in Northeast Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is April 11th, 1994, and this is tape 8, side 1. Well, on to the 1969 session. You had no opposition in the primary or the general election.
That was just wonderful. I couldn't believe it, how fortunate I was. Well, that was because I did such an outstanding job, of course, you realize.
I realize that.
It was a lot more fun the second session. First of all, I knew more of what I was doing, and secondly, it was difficult. I mean, you know, you can make any job as light or as difficult as you like. People could get by without doing any work at all, and some did. But I studied so hard. Well, came the second session, and here came back a flow of a bunch of the same bills that I'd seen the session before.
Right.
So all I had to do then was to study up on the changes, bring myself back up to snuff on that, and it was much better.
The Oregon Voter said that quoted you or quoted as quoted in the Oregon Voter. It said her campaign position for government efficiency, property tax relief, top level education at rock bottom expenditures, clean air and water, new industry, and adequate recreation facilities. They referred to that as your platform.
Yeah, that's a great get elected platform, isn't it? And those were the things that I worked on. But
what did you mean about top level education at rock bottom?
That's what I was laughing when you read me off that part, because that's to appeal to everybody. You see, you want to have quality education, but you don't want to pay any money for it, I gather. I don't know.
In light of Measure 5, how do you feel? Which the Measure 5 of the 1990 election, which limited property taxes to 1.5%.
That was a terrible thing.
And, yeah.
It's too bad. It's too bad because you're going to have something. You're going to have to pay for it. Unfortunately, there have been excesses in the school system, and people get tired of seeing that sort of thing, sort of like what's happening in the defense. Those awful things about the expensive toilets and the monkey wrenches and things.
Right.
But one thing that folks didn't understand, which I supported, was when they were doing the schools, they were complaining. I'd hear a lot of the public would complain to me about the palaces, they'd call the schools. And I pointed out that it was far more expensive to have the labor of redoing something all the time than to build it well
the first
go around. It's infinitely more expensive because the manpower is what goes up, and the cost of the maintenance is cut down a lot by some of the better quality things in the construction. And so I didn't have any objection to that. But what I did have some objections to is my kids came home, they were all taking journalism in high school, and I couldn't believe the cameras that they brought home to use for taking pictures for the Grantonian. And this happened over and over. It wasn't just Molly when she was taking it. It was 2-3 years down the pike comes Martha, and then these were cameras that you couldn't afford to buy. They were on a caliber of the cameras that they had at the Oregonian, and you don't need that. The journalism professor there was buying this expensive stuff because he would like to have that expensive stuff. You don't need that.
Right.
You don't need that at all. You can learn how to take pictures without doing that kind of thing. And that's a small point to bring up. But those were very, very costly. And You have to have the educators realize that something of that nature is apt to impact
right
down the lines. I don't know. This, I'm talking all the way around in circles here because I can't remember. That was just plain good campaign talk, I'm afraid, I must admit.
Well, in the House, after the election, there were 22 Democrats and 38 Republicans, so the Republicans were firmly in control.
Yeah.
And a little closer in the Senate, though, 14 Republicans to 16 Democrats. So it was another year of
the coalition.
Of coalition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And
the Republicans were in control, but there were a few of us, yeah, like Bob Elliott and myself, we sort of, we were Portland moderates.
Right. Well, Debs Potts ended up being president of the Senate, so he was the coalition leader of the Democratic group. Mm-hmm. And Bob Smith was Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about him.
That's right.
He followed up Monty Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And your committee assignments were elections and reapportionment, fish and game, and urban affairs. On the elections and reapportionment, Mann was the
chairman. Real good guy.
And you were vice chair. What was Mann like?
Oh, a real nice guy. Great sense of humor. He was from Eastern Oregon, from Stanfield. Oh. And just a great guy. So was his wife. I called him the man.
The man.
But they were just very nice. He's an easygoing mm-hmm. guy. And I learned quite a bit from him of the ways of legislature, and we mm-hmm. and we got the reapportionment. We got a lot of stuff passed that that we didn't get through the term before.
Reapportionment's a very tricky issue, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Does it always fall right down partisan lines?
Well, it certainly seemed to then. Mm-hmm. Certainly seemed to. Although within the party, they were, what they wanted to do was look after their own
sure.
districts. So sure. many of them. That was the first thing when I was trying to sell it. That was the only, really, just about the only thing that they wanted to see mm-hmm. Was where are the lines? What's the registration in that district? And so. It was a pretty individual situation.
As vice chair, what were your responsibilities?
Run it when Irv wasn't there.
Uh-huh. Did that happen?
Oh, occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we had subcommittees, so often why the subcommittees were chaired, a subcommittee would be chaired by the right. vice chairman of mm-hmm. the full committee.
Anison was the one of the people on the committee.
Yeah, Salem guy.
Salem, uh-huh.
He's the one who, man whose name I can't recall, didn't want to know, so it was cutting into his district.
Oh, right.
He was extremely handicapped physically.
Oh, really?
Very much so. He, and I went over to their home a number of times, a real sweet wife, and his chair was built way up high. It was, I can't remember, did he? I think he had a wheelchair. Yeah. Mm. He had a wheelchair and I think he used crutches occasionally, but he was polio type and just really badly crippled.
And really? Carruthers was...
Oh, he was a funny guy, Doc. Yeah. He was a physician.
Oh.
And he'd been in legislature forever, I guess. I mean, maybe it was just one term before, but he acted as if he'd been there forever. So, mm. I easily intimidate, and I just take it for granted that these people all knew a lot more than I, and that's a good thing to take for granted.
You are easily intimidated?
Yes. Huh. Well, the impressed, not if there's a battle and I know the issues and I'm I can slug it out with the best of them. But I did. What bothered me was there was so much to know,
yeah.
such an overwhelming amount of information going on down there, and a great deal of misinformation, mm-hmm. intentional misinformation, which was even mm-hmm. worse. And to try and do a good job was really
Were there people that you relied upon for information?
Yes, but you didn't have too much of a chance for mentors from our area.
Mm-hmm.
There were D's and I listened to on a number of occasions. I sort of envied the people who didn't bother to pay any attention, just voted a straight party line. That made it nice and easy for them, and they didn't have to study all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
They just did what... But they were told by the staff of the leadership, but I couldn't play that way. I had to study them myself and then try and find out. Some of the lobbyists were helpful. You soon learned which ones you could mm-hmm. believe. And
which ones could you believe? Which ones did you listen to?
There were a couple of from the telephone company who were real competent. It was... interesting. They had one who was a very smooth, suave, polished fellow, and another who was a big, ruddy, hail fellow, dirty stories, and well met. And I thought, boy, they're covering they're covering
bases.
The whole thing, right? They had somebody for everything, but they were both very bright and very competent and honest. I didn't, there wasn't one that ever gave me misinformation that I knew of anyway. Then there was Bob Knipe, who was the trucking lobbyist. He'd been there forever. He was a very respected lobbyist. He was a good friend of my husband's. I'd known him well for some time. And he was very straight. Then there was this fellow who just died recently. He was the oil company lobbyist.
Bill Headland.
Neat guy. Mm-hmm. Just a neat guy. He'd been in legislature before mm-hmm. my time, but he was down as a lobbyist. He had a big apartment at... why was it? There were a number of apartments around. It was on a main floor type apartment. And he had a standing bridge games going there.
Right.
You heard about that?
I interviewed him, yeah, and I remember him telling me about that.
Right, yeah. All the time. And that was nice. I was on the standing invitation to pop in. I didn't abuse the privilege, but I went over quite a number of times, and there would be a number of people there, varying folks. And it was a good way to get to visit with some of the legislators. Mm-hmm. That the social life is certainly a way of getting uh-huh. information that. And I lacked a great deal of it because I was down there, as I said, without my husband. But that was a nice gathering. Mm-hmm. The wives were all there and a lot of the secretaries who were the wives.
Did Al ever come down?
Yeah, a couple of times. He came down once and stayed overnight. And in the middle of the night, there was a hammering on the door, and here was this huge policeman and said, "Did you own a Ford Mustang?" And turns out it had been parked on the street in front, and some drunk guy had come down and plowed into my car and crashed, pushed it on ahead and wrecked the car parked in front of mine, which was Ken Jernstead's car.
Oh, no.
He had the apartment next to me. And I said, "Gee, Al, I'm sure glad that you're here and can see that I'm not making this up and that you were with me last night." But, He drove me to legislature, but then I couldn't get home. I had to hitchhike until I found somebody who could give me a car. He came down to some things, and he knew a lot of the folks because he had covered legislature, you know, and he was the political editor after Shoemaker died. And
some of the other people on the committee, Gwynn was on there.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice guy. He's from Albany.
Uh-huh.
He commuted, I think. I don't think... I'm sure that he commuted.
And Haas?
Harl, yeah. Haas. He was a freshman that term, I believe. Uh-huh. And a nice guy, real likable. But he worked at the job, too. We worked well together.
Kennedy was on there.
Rich, bright guy. Yeah. He was a playboy down there, but he knew what he was doing and with the legislation. Hmm. He hit the trap line, and his wife too.
Oh, and his wife as well was his secretary.
Not always, yeah. Uh-huh. She wasn't always with him, but he was out in the trap line. Markham, he was from Riddle. That's a little tiny place way down in southern, southwestern. Oregon, real nice guy, and so was his wife. Very conscientious guy. I don't think that he... I didn't feel that he was antagonistic to Portland, like some of the... He may have just been able to hide it better, but...
And Stevenson?
Nice guy. He was a freshman with me from Portland. He was about the only new D from Portland in our freshman class. In fact, I think they had things for the freshman class and parties that the, I can't remember who would have put them on, lobbyists, I guess, or something to introduce themselves to us, I don't know. But he was, odd man out because he was the only D in the group in the freshman class. He was a real nice fellow. He was from North Portland, and actually he and I saw alike on a lot of things.
Was there any legislation that came out of this committee that you recall that you talked about reapportionment coming through, getting reapportionment legislation.
Yeah, and I think that may have been when we killed the fortune cookies. I think I was vice chairman of that committee.
Of elections and reapportionment?
Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah, you were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the one that Mann was chairman of?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking there was another... I'm all right, duh.
Well, you weren't... chair or vice chair on either of the other committees in this term, unless there was an interim committee that you were you might have been.
Oh, that's right, interim committees. I was on an interim committee. I can remember going down and testifying in front of...
You were on governmental affairs interim committee.
Yeah. And what in the world?
Senator Bates and
Carney
was on there, and Ivers, Outerkirk, Raymond, and Representatives Anison and Howard, McCready, Thornton, and Wingard were on there. Do you know what that... I believe that was created through House Joint Resolution 43, but do you know what you were dealing with in that?
Gosh, I can remember seeing, I remember where we sat, I can remember that room we go down and meet in, and I can't remember what we did. We had hearings on governmental affairs. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You were on Fish and Game again during that session.
Yes, I requested that in elections each time.
Mackenzie chaired that.
Rod's a real nice
Rod
guy.
McKenzie.
Rod McKenzie. Mm-hmm. He lived down on the Rogue. I think it was the town of Rogue is where he lived. Hmm. He was a sheep farmer. And there was a terrible, terrible freeze, and he was gone from legislature for about a week or a week and a half, something like that. And when he came back, well, we'd heard that he'd lost a lot of his sheep. They'd been driven into against fences and piled up and killed. It was just a real bad, unseasonable type freeze for down in that country. It's usually a lot warmer down mm-hmm. there. You know, that's near, fairly close to where that warmest spot in Oregon is. That's, anyway.
There's a warm spot down there?
Yeah, there's a place that's a lot warmer. It's damp, pretty damp, but you've never heard of it?
I've heard of some dry spots.
This isn't dry, it's damp. It's, well, it's dry some, but, I've almost said it there. It's quite near the border.
Near
Brookings.
Oh, Brookings. Oh, yes, that's, along the coast.
Yeah, you've heard of that.
Right, sure.
Well, this place is not too awfully far from there. I don't believe I went mm-hmm. down once at the request of his wife to speak to her group of whatever they were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I told him the condition was that he set it up for me to go fishing. Well, I was down. That was the price I charged.
And did he?
Oh, you bet he did. We didn't have any luck. The guy who took me fishing had gone out the day before, way up high, and would lie on the bluffs, he told me, looking down at the Rogue to see. Or was it the Rogue that we fished? Or what would it be down there? But to see if there were any fish starting up, but they weren't right then.
Huh.
But anyway, when he came back from his, after that tragedy with the sheep, I said, oh, gosh, Rod, I'm so sorry to hear that you lost your sheep. And he's, I didn't lose any sheep. And I said, you didn't? Oh, that's wonderful news. I'm so thrilled. I'm just so pleased to hear that. I've been worrying about his. No, he says, they're dead, but I don't run exactly where they are. He didn't lose any sheep. They were killed.
Oh.
They weren't lost. He says, yeah, they're dead, but he says, I know right where they are. Sense of humor that boy had.
I guess. Turner was on the committee.
Yeah. He was a pleasant guy from not Clackamas County. What is it? It was just right towards west from here. Not that you... real pleasant man. He was a D and...
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And Cole?
Oh, Cole, yeah. He was from Astoria. He was an attorney. Ah. Very bright young man. That was his freshman year. But he seemed quite competent.
Dietering.
he was a nice old guy. I didn't know him very well. He was, I think he'd been there forever.
Uh-huh.
And I think he just sort of, he was a dairyman, I believe.
Hmm.
And just followed... the pretty much the party line on stuff. He was very nice to me, but I'm sure he thought that I was one of those wild-eyed, left-wing, dangerous types, and a woman, you know.
Right, to boot.
Right.
Dugdale?
Lord, yes. Fortunately, he was only there one term. Huh. As I recall, he was, they had a party for in the summertime up at Fritzie Chenard's house for the Republicans and the newly elected Republicans. And I met him there And the first thing he said to me was something, I have a house with nine bathrooms. Or it may not have been the first thing out of his mouth, but it was awfully close to it. And he built the house himself. And he was saying, and I think I can almost see it from the. Fritzy had this gorgeous, gorgeous house, Fritzy and Frenchie Chouinard. Her husband was a surgeon, and she was older, very nice, interested primarily in education, as I recall, and followed the party line pretty straight. And she was a very dear person. She looked just like my mother. Reminded me of her so much. She was a lady, and they had this beautiful home, and this guy took me out of the terrace in front of it, and he wanted to see to point out where his house was, that he was building this house with the nine bathrooms, and all he ever seemed to talk about was this house. He was talking about how he'd managed to save so he was building it, and he managed to save so much money. And he said he had this southern, it looked like a southern mansion with these high pillars. And he said, how he saved, I'd forgotten all about this, how he saved so much money, he used sewer pipes for the pillars.
No, really?
Right. And about, I can't remember how many now there were across the front of the house, but on this, the typical southern,
Sure.
but he had, they were sewer pipes. And says, you can't tell the difference when you paint them. And so I don't know, I haven't the slightest idea what, if anything, he did or accomplished in legislature. I doubt that it was much. And he, I didn't go back the next session myself. That's when I didn't file for re-election. So, but I don't think he was there. I think he was. What committee was he on with
This was
me?
on Fish and Game.
Oh, he must have been a real help. Well, I probably could get his vote all right because he was, but I don't think he knew anything about anything down there.
Hurd was on the committee.
Oh,
Fred Hurd, I presume.
Yes. That guy was a no good.
Really?
Yeah, he was from Bedford. And of all places, he'd sold out to the on the steelhead thing ahead of time, and I just couldn't believe it because that's a sportsman's paradise down in that area. You know, the fishing, awful lot of.
He's from Klamath, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was big. And he was playing both ends against the middle. He was a slippery guy. He got into a lot of trouble later on. It couldn't have happened to a better guy. He just was not the kind of person that you could respect. But unfortunately, there he is back in. He's got himself a good state job. I can't. What is he now? It's, I just couldn't believe it after all the scandal that he was mixed up in.